Today we are going to be looking at the book of Jeremiah. And before I go any further, I remember I had a pastor friend of mine who just took his first church, his first pastorate, and he was having some struggles within his first year, you know, them getting to know him, him getting to know them. There were some trials that were happening, some conflict that was happening. And so he talked to his district superintendent. And the first thing his district superintendent said is, if you are feeling down, then the last thing you should do is read Jeremiah. Just so you know what you're getting into today, okay? So Jeremiah is an interesting book. It's pretty somber. It is pretty, it's definitely conflicting. It's a back and forth that you can see throughout the book. But we're going to be looking at a couple portions of it, then we're going to be seeing how it ties into the New Testament. So Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 18, my sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from a distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not within her? Why have they provoked me with their graven images with foreign idols? Harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken, I mourn, dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. As I said, very uplifting and very encouraging. But you definitely see here, he's crying out to God. That's the first thing you understand. He's crying. There's this cry that's taking place, and it's this why idea of why is this happening? Why is this taking place? And I'm just curious, as we go through each sentence, at the end of each verse, if I was to ask you, have you ever been there, what would your answer be? That yes. I've been in that. Is there no balm in Gilead? Why is this happening? Why aren't the people serving God the way they're supposed to? And this is kind of what you see all throughout the Old Testament, right? All throughout the Old Testament, ever since the fall of man, you have the issue of why aren't the God's people doing what God's people are supposed to do? Isn't it? That's pretty much the thesis of the entire Old Testament. Why aren't God's people doing what God's people are supposed to do? Which is somewhat refreshing because when we hear concerns, updated concerns in our world today, in our culture today, it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? We ask the same question. Why aren't God's people doing what God's people are supposed to do? And we would go along with that and say that if God's people were doing what God's people are supposed to do, maybe things would be a little bit different. Maybe we would have a different culture. Maybe we would have a different outlook on life if God's people were doing what God's people were supposed to do. So at the very end of chapter 8, he says, is there no balm in Gilead? I mean, isn't there something that could happen here? Isn't it possible that God could heal? What is going on? Everything is a disaster. Everything is a mess. So when I ask the question, have you ever been there? I just want you just for a moment, not for the entire time today, because we don't want to dwell on things like this, but you know, just for a moment, just kind of put yourself in that position, or maybe you're in that position today. Maybe you're in a position where you're basically saying, God, why is this happening? Why is our world this way? Why is my life this way? Things were not supposed to be this way. Things were supposed to be different. Just put yourself in that position for a moment, and I want you to think about those moments where you cry out to God, those moments where you don't understand what he's saying, those moments where you don't understand why things just don't seem to be going the way they're supposed to be going. You've heard the phrase before, the grass is always greener on the other side. And of course, that phrase basically means that somebody's all excited about a change that's coming in their life. Somebody's all excited about saying, oh my goodness, something's happening. I finally got that job, or we're finally going to live in that place that I love, or we're finally going to. And then what happens? The grass is always greener, because once you get there, then you start realizing, wow, The people, my neighbors are kind of similar to the neighbors I have. People are kind of people, and it's like that old saying that all of us have heard, wherever you go, there you are. You can't get away from yourself. Try it, it won't happen. You can't. Wherever you go, there you are. So a lot of times we're crying out to God and we're saying, God, why is this happening? Shouldn't things be different? Shouldn't this be different? Shouldn't my family be different? Shouldn't the relationship be different? Shouldn't my income be different? Shouldn't the people at work be different? Shouldn't my neighbors be different? Shouldn't things? It wasn't supposed to be this way. And if you read through the entire book of Jeremiah, you will understand why that district superintendent told my friend, you don't want to read it when you're down, because it's pretty much just constant. God, things just are not the way they're supposed to be. God, things just are not. What is going on? You left us. Did you turn your ear from us? Why aren't you hearing us? What is going on? But there is a little bit of good news in Jeremiah. And we're going to talk about that next. If we go to the next slide. Go to the next one. Right here. Yeah, Jeremiah 13, 31, 34. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Here comes the good news. You have all the bad news, just like our newspaper, just like the news you watch on TV. You have 90% bad news, but here's the portion of Jeremiah that's the good news, right? So you have the bad news. God, why aren't you doing it? Things aren't supposed to be happening this way. This doesn't make any sense. And then you get into this Jeremiah chapter 13. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again. This is an amazing concept. Just listen to this. They will not teach again, each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. Whoa, that sounds like a great place to live, doesn't it? They will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. So basically what we're getting is, in the midst of 90% of the depression of Jeremiah, you get the positive side of God is saying that, no, there is coming a day. There is coming a day where the iniquity is going to be removed. There is coming a day where God's going to forgive. There is coming a day where this is going to take place. And the good news we have for you today is that that day has come. And in fact, that day came 2,000 years ago. Now, this is all going to go together here in the end, hopefully. We'll see by the time we're done. But if we look at, now we're going to jump to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. And you remember Hebrews. Hebrews is all about Jesus. And very beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, in the past, God spoke to the prophets at many times and in various ways. But now he has spoken to us by his son, Jesus. Now he's saying in chapter 8, but now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Right here is the fulfillment of what we just read in Jeremiah, where he said that on that day, there's coming a day where this is going to happen. There's coming a day where Jesus is going to come. There's coming a day where Jesus is going to come and take all of this away. There's going to be a different world, a different way we're going to be able to live. And according to God, in that passage, all people will know me. So that's great, isn't it? As one commentator stated clearly, several commentators stated clearly, the balm in Gilead that he was longing for is Jesus. Isn't there a balm in Gilead? Can't God do something about this mess? Can't God do something about this disaster? Yes, he can. Behold, there is a day coming when this is going to happen. And when that day comes, it's Jesus. This isn't anything new, right? We all pretty much understand this, that Old Testament, that's how it was. They didn't have Jesus yet. And then New Testament, Jesus comes. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus is the he's the propitiation for our sins. He's the one who goes to the cross. He's the one who dies for our sins because of his. He's the ultimate sacrifice. He's the ultimate priest. He's the ultimate high priest. So everything comes back and points to this person of Jesus and the cross. And so if you take the idea of Jesus and the cross out of everything, then we have nothing to live for. We're right back to where Jeremiah was, where we're just crying out saying, God, look at this mess. Look. But the good news is, as we got right here in Hebrews, that he prophesied about in Jeremiah, that there is a day coming when Jesus is going to come. The good news is we don't have to wait for that day to come. That day has already come. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus offered his life, and he was sacrificed for us. So because of that, then quite simply, all we need to do is say, thank you, Jesus. Now, going back to the idea of the balm in Gilead, what happens with that is, isn't there something that's going to fix this? Yes, Jesus is going to fix it, which makes me wonder, where do we go when things are tough or when we don't understand things or when we face trials or frustrations if we don't go to the person of Jesus? Because Jesus is the one who fills that void. He's the one who fills that blank. Nobody else can do that for us, even though we attempt to get others to fill that void. It's only Jesus who can. So it's all about this person of Jesus. And I think that what we should be praising God about and what we should be celebrating today is the fact that Jesus did offer his life for us. He did resurrect. He did conquer death so that we could know him. Now I'm going to predict. Okay, you've heard me predict before. I don't know if it's predicting or maybe it's prophesying, whatever. Let's just say I'm going to be a prophet for a moment. Just for a moment. Just for one moment, okay? And I'm going to just take some guesses on what some of you might be thinking right now. Right now in this moment. I know that's dangerous, right? Dangerous. You know, some of you are thinking, where in the world is he going with this? Some of you are thinking, can't we just get to the picnic? And some of you are sitting there thinking, boy, this is a great dream, huh? Oh, wait, no, was that a dream? Was I awake? Oh, I just woke up. But some of you who are paying attention and are thinking and are listening probably are saying something to the effect, and you may not even want to verbalize this because this isn't popular, something popular to verbalize. You may want to say, okay, Chad, that's all well and good, the bomb in Gilead, yeah, and then the promise was made, and then Jesus came, but Chad, who's going to tell him, hey, Chad, everything is still a mess. Even though Jesus did come, everything is still a mess. How do we fix that? It's amazing what we expect from Jesus at certain times in our life. As I shared with you before, when I was a prison chaplain and the prisoner who gave his life to Christ told me right after he gave his life to Christ, I'm so excited, I just gave my life to Christ because now I know I'm going to get out early. Why? Because, well, Jesus, I gave my life to Jesus, right? He takes all that away, so it's all... How many of you would agree with this statement? We've said it before. This isn't anything new, but we just need to be reminded of it at times. Well, don't really need to be reminded of it, but just we need to be reminded of the reality of it, that sometimes life just plain stinks. Right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Yeah, you know, I've had some things happen to me recently over the last few years. Some of you can relate to, some of you may not be able to relate to, but over the last few years, I've had a few things happen that kind of reminded me that there's this process that's taking place in my life that some people call it aging. Anyone here ever experienced an aging process of any? Because all of a sudden you realize you can't do what you used to be able to do because you're not as old, young as you used to. And we kind of go through that. And I think that from time to time, it kind of comes in spurts and times. And in some moments, it's like an aha moment of, wow, I used to be able to. What happened? Now I can't. Just recently, and you guys know this, I was never an incredible athlete. I was never in perfect shape, but I at least could do some. But recently, a couple of the boys and I, we were on this walking trail, and they had the exercise bars and everything there. And one of them was chin-ups. Chin-ups. Now, I was never great, but I could do a couple at least, or a few. I was like, okay, guys, here, let me show you how to do this. This is really good. Yeah, that's how you do it right there. You know, go ahead. And they were like, well, you can't even do it. No, I can do it. It's just that, you know, you go ahead. Things change, right? You're not the same as you used to be. And all of a sudden, I had to start, I guess it started about 20 years ago or so was when I got the first one, was these little white things they call pills. And the doctor says pretty much you're going to be on this for eternity. You ever been told that? That you're going to have to take this? Based on your blood work, you're going to have to take it. And in fact, I even asked my doctor one time after being on medication, because I hate being on any medication. I don't know if anybody here likes being on medication. I hate being on medication. I remember coming into my doctor one time, and I said to him, I said, okay, so what if I was able to get the number down to this? Or can you tell me at least where my number should be that you would be willing to take me off this medication? I waited till he stopped laughing. And then he gave me a number. And then he pretty much told me, but... You know, he said, Chad, I've seen patients for over 20-some years. I don't see that happening. You're pretty much going to be on this for the rest of... So, added that to my routine. Then I add these vitamins to my routine. Then I add the vitamins that are for joint health to my routine. Then I add these eye drops that I need to take because my eyes are getting drier and drier that they never used to be. And now I'm finding even just getting out of bed is not as easy as it used to be. You know, you just, And we had visitors come over one time, and I was just getting up out of the chair, and they said, what's the all about? And I was like, oh, you heard that? You know, yeah, because we go through this aging. And I heard somebody say years ago, that we have a tendency as human beings to do everything possible to do away with the human element, right? We do everything possible to cover up our humanity, right? No, we're not human, no. Especially when you're getting ready for church, right? You don't come into church looking human, right? You know, no. Just like Tony Evans said, you know, that you work on your glory, you know, you make sure the hair's right, you make sure this is right, that you come in, you know, yeah, we kind of put humanity aside. If you don't agree with that, then I'd love to come knock on your door at 3 a.m. and see how you look when you come to the door. Just recently, I was walking the dogs, and I usually start around 6 or so. This was around, I looked at my watch when this happened just so I could maybe, I don't know, maybe use it for an illustration later on. It was about 6:48 a.m., and this truck pulls up to this house. I'm walking along, and I couldn't help but overhear. And from the conversation, I could tell this was not a planned visit. And in the course of the conversation, as the woman comes to the door, as she's rubbing her eyes, and she has that morning voice. Anybody have that morning voice? You know that you're still trying to talk, but you really can't. It's, you know. And then he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get you out of bed?" And I thought to myself, that's a dumb question. 6:48? Come on. Like, but he did. And her response, of course, while she's rubbing her eyes and clearing her throat, was, no, you didn't get me out of bed. Even though it was pretty obvious that he did. Why is that? Why does that happen? Well, there's this thing called humanity, and we can't cover, as much as we try, humanity kind of just seeps through sometimes, and people can see us in all of our human glory and without us doing anything to accomplish. Now, why is that so important today? Well, it's so important because all of that are just signs of our aging process, which are signs of the fall of man when God said, if you take the fruit, you will die. And so that's all signs of dying. All of that taking place that, you know, you have needs as you're getting older, things change and things happen and you have all these different things you have to worry about you didn't have to worry about before. Why is that important? Well, I've heard some, maybe you have too. I've heard some that have said, if you come to Jesus, you never have to worry about that. If you come to Jesus, we wake you up at 2 a.m., you're going to look amazing. Come to Jesus, no reason for pills, no reason for vitamins, no reason for that, the cream you put on so your joints feel better. But we've all know and we've experienced that that's not true, right? And the evidence of that is seen in the fact that we've experienced it, we've seen it, we don't like it, I hate it, but people die. You see, the whole idea of Jesus coming wasn't a promise that he's going to make our physical life amazing and that somehow we're going to have $1 million and somehow we're going to have this and he's going to take all of our trials away. In fact, it was the opposite is what he said. If we look at the next slide, we go to the book of James, very popular. You've heard this before. Let's read this together if we could. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You notice James did not say to them, and remember, he's writing to people who were under persecution in the moment. It wasn't people that were going to have persecution later on, or it was right then they were under persecution. He's writing to them and he's saying, consider this joy. What? Why would I consider this joy? Right here is the evidence. There is not a promise at all that if you give your life to Jesus, that all of a sudden no, you won't have any trials, no physical difficulties, no persecution, nothing. In fact, it's the exact opposite. You will face trials because whether you like it or not, as Scripture says, you will have tribulation. It is there. It's going to happen. That's it. Well, then what's the point then, Chad? If life stinks here, and then I give my life to Jesus, and then over here, after giving my life to Jesus, it still stinks, what is the point of giving my life to Jesus? What in the world is this all about? Why would I waste my time with all this stuff? Because the promise that is given, when you follow Jesus, every single trial you face, every single difficulty you encounter, you will not be alone. That's the promise that he gives you. He doesn't promise millionaire, doesn't promise you're never going to have any difficulties. He says, here it is, you follow me, I'll go with you through on this journey. We'll go through this together. And I'll be with you. He said in the Great Commission that, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That regardless of how bad our world gets, regardless of how bad our culture gets, regardless of how bad our life gets, regardless of how much our life stinks, that the one thing we can hold on to is Jesus is there and he will be with us every step of the way. And I just wonder today, how many of you need to be reminded of that? I just wonder today if you just may need to be reminded that You're not facing this alone, that Jesus is there and he knows what's happening. And he may not fix it the way you want him to fix it, but he's never left and he's there. And maybe this morning you just need to say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I forgot the fact that you were even there. And I'm sorry I didn't even include you in this. And Jesus, I just want to just, Jesus, could you just be a part of this right here with me and show me and guide me and direct me so that I can respond and do what you think I should respond and do. But most of all, Jesus, could you reveal yourself to me in the middle of this storm that I'm facing? Could you show me that you're still there? Could you reveal yourself and speak to me in a way that I've never heard you before? Could you show me in a way I've never seen you before that you are right? It's so easy for us to forget, isn't it? Right now in this moment, folks, he is right here amongst us. He is right here with you. And he can be with you when you walk out of this building as you continue to face that life that stinks sometimes. He will still be with you because of the promise. That's the promise he gave us. Not that he would fix all of it. But that he would be with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. And we ask, God, that you would reveal yourself to us today, that we would see you for who you really are, and that, Lord, as the ultimate sacrifice, the one who died for us, that you would remind us that when you died for us and conquered death, that yes, that was 2,000 years ago, but you are present with us right now. Jesus, forgive us for all the times we forget that. So many times we forget that you are right there with us, fulfilling the promise that you made to us that you would never leave. You've always been the one we can depend upon. You've always been the one we can rest upon. You have never left. And I pray for the one today, Jesus, who's here, who needs to hear the words that you said to your disciples. Come to me, all who are heavy burdened and weary, and I will give you rest for your soul. Jesus, we ask for that rest today, the promise of who you are. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.